So I want to take a second and tell you about the sponsor of this week's Just M segment, Phonics Museum. So I have a son. He's super smart. He walks around the house carrying calculators and pieces of paper and pens and doing math calculations. It is so confusing to me why he does that, but he does, and whatever, he knows. He's working on his multiplication facts, and he's 5. But when it comes to reading, he's like, meh, no thanks. I ask him to read like one of these tiny beginning readers with me, and he acts like I'm trying to light his hair on fire. I don't understand his aversion, but it's real. But then Phonics Museum came along, and it's really changing things for us. Phonics Museum was created because teaching children how to read at a young age is so important for their future academic success. But when you have a kid like mine, it can be overwhelming and difficult to know how to help him understand that it's something he needs to do. Phonics Museum takes the stress and guesswork out of teaching kids to read by using time-proven techniques that combine fun and storytelling and a multi-sensory approach to learning. My son loves this app, and he's not even asking to watch TV. He's asking to do this Phonics Museum game, as he calls it. So if you are in the same boat as I am, go to phonicsmuseum.com/MSW and you can try it for free for 2 weeks. That's phonicsmuseum.com/MSW. Ladies, welcome back to the Just M segment of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is number 11, and we are going to be talking about John 4, verses 1 through 15. The point of this segment is just to open the Bible, read a couple of scriptures, apply it to our lives. I think a lot of people don't necessarily know how to do that, or don't do it because they feel like it's too hard, and it's not too hard. So let's walk through it together. I've heard a lot of you actually enjoy this because you're like folding laundry or doing something where you can't like actually have the Bible in front of you. So anyway, I'm getting a lot of really positive feedback from this. And so even though I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? It makes me a little nervous. What if I say the wrong thing? Well, I'm just trusting that it's going to be okay. So here we go. John 4, verses 1 through 15. This is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. So some of us who know this are going to be like, oh my gosh, I totally know all the things about this. And that's great. But I do think that we approach the word like that. Like it's nothing we can get anything new about. We knew it's a lady at the well at noon. Jesus talked to her. It was amazing. But let's see if we can't pull fresh things out of it. Okay. All right. So John 4. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water." So we're going to pause right there. That's all we're going to do today. It's not the end of the story. It's just about to get really good. But I want to pause and show you everything we already read was actually also really good. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. So someone learned that Jesus's people were baptizing more people than John. So the Pharisees were talking about it. Here we have, again, just competition and people getting riled up about stuff. And aren't they all like on the same team? John the Baptist people, Jesus people. We should all be rooting for one another. But that's neither here nor there. So Jesus decides he's going to go ahead and go to another place, and he's heading for Galilee. And it says he had to pass through Samaria. That's verse 4. I love that. First of all, he's God. He transports himself from place to place just immediately. He has other people do that sometimes too. He walks on water. He raises from the dead. He didn't have to go through Samaria, okay? So it's like the physical world is nothing for him to navigate. So him having to go is more like a compulsion because he had work there. But I just love that he had to go through Samaria. He really didn't have to. He wanted to. So verse 6, he's walking there and it says he was weary from his journey. So he sat beside a well. It was the sixth hour. So weary from the journey, it was going to be about 5 to 6 hour walk. It was a really long walk. I know like a 6 hour road trip takes it right out of me. I'm just sitting there. I can't imagine walking for 6 hours. So he was weary. It was the sixth hour. And what that means is it was noon. So we're high noon. We've been walking for 6 hours. I love that we see Jesus tired. I love that. It's not just the Jesus in gleaming white robes with his hands open saying, "Let the children come for me." I mean, this was like road weary, sweaty, tired Jesus. I love that. So then we see this woman come to the well in the middle of the afternoon, the hottest part of the day. I mean, she's why Jesus, quote unquote, had to go through Samaria is for her. And again, most of us know this. She came in the middle of the day. I mean, there's some speculation, but largely it's a social thing for the women to come get water. They would come either in the morning or at night when it was cooler, and they all go. It's like the gathering spot. Like it's literally the water cooler, right? But she came when nobody came. There's something to that. She was not a part of the social scene. So again, last week we talked about rejection and how God gets it when we're rejected. This woman gets it too. So we see that Jesus tells her in verse 7, "Give me a drink." And that is, it's very hard for us to understand in our culture where, first of all, in our culture, we'd be like, "Get your own drink." But that's not what they would have said. But she is like, "I can't believe you're talking to me because you're a man and I'm a woman. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You're a teacher. This should not be happening." I love that, though, because it shows that Jesus is not concerned with societal norms that people just made up. He's concerned with loving people who need it, and she needed it. So he goes on to talk about living water, and we know that that is him, and that when we decide we're going to follow Christ, he provides for us this wellspring of water that doesn't run dry. We talked about last week that he is not stingy with us, and he just is lavish and abundant in his giving to us. And so the water is that kind of a picture. But I wanted to talk, even in these 15 verses, how can we struggle well based on these things? Okay, so the first thing is that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. He did things that didn't necessarily make sense to onlookers because he just needed to love these people. And I'm going to share a story, and I kind of don't want to share it because it makes me seem like I'm really great, and I'm not. That's not the point. I mean, we all know I'm really great, right? So no, just kidding. Something happened to me at one point, and it kind of made me think of this story. When we lived in China, I ran across in the city one day this older woman who was clearly mentally, there was some stuff going on. She was talking to herself. She was homeless. And for reasons that I can only explain as the Lord, I felt like I was supposed to buy her something to eat. And I was by myself. We lived in rural China, so it wasn't like I was in the city a lot and had like a plan of action for this type of situation. I didn't do this a lot, but I saw her and I was just like, she needs food and I'm going to buy her some food. And in China, there was lots of street food and it was amazing. If you ever go to China, eat everything that you can find on the street, like not literally on the street, obviously, but there's a lot of really amazing street food. So there was, though, this kind of tofu called cho tofu, which means stinky tofu, and it literally smells like dirty underwear. That's too much information, but I'm just saying, wow. When they call it stink tofu, they are not kidding. It assaults every one of your senses, okay? And that's just me going, that stuff's bad. I love Chinese food, but this stuff was really bad. Anyway, so there was this Chou Tofu stand within walking distance, just down the street from this woman. So I just was like, felt like I needed to buy it. And even though like I didn't even want to smell it, much less purchase it and walk with it, gross. But I knew, like, this is her place. This is her food. She probably loves it. Maybe she doesn't. So I bought the Chou Tofu, and I walked over to her, and I gave it to her. And I was afraid because, like, what if she is scary? What if she, I mean, I don't know. You just have all these reasons why this is should not possibly be the thing that you're supposed to do. Because, number one, it's weird. Number two, it's uncomfortable. Number three, it really stinks bad. But I did it. And she took it. I honestly don't remember what she did. Obviously, I did not understand what she was saying because they don't speak Chinese. And she was not in her right mind. And so I have no memory of what happened in my exchange with her. And in China, there are so many people walking. Just imagine everywhere you go, a human being. And I just did it. And I went to go about my business. I did the thing that I felt like the Lord was telling me to do, even though it was uncomfortable and it didn't make sense. And I happened to look up, and across the street, happened to catch the eye of a Chinese man, like one of many in a sea of people. And everybody, nobody was noticing what I was doing. It was so busy. But I happened to see him, and he happened to see me, and he gave me this really hearty two thumbs up. And I thought, huh, it's just interesting to me. Like, sometimes we do things, and it was loving for me to give the lady the food. But sometimes when we are asked to do things and that doesn't make sense, it's not for the reason that we think it is. So I don't know, maybe that guy needed to see somebody loving somebody else. Or maybe that guy had bad interactions with foreigners and needed to see that we're all not terrible. Or, I mean, who even knows? But it was just weird to me, that interaction that felt confusing seemed to have a different outcome than I had anticipated. I mean, I doubt that anybody's life was changed for that or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we should do the awkward thing because we don't know what God's trying to do. And I'll never know what God did through that. But anyway, so that's my stinky tofu story. Another thing that I think we can pull out from this and struggle well with would be that Jesus, when he was tired, homeboy rested, okay? He understands when you're exhausted. He is not disappointed in you for taking a break. I have a friend who says when she takes a nap, she feels like such a failure. I get it. Sometimes at the end of the day when I go to sleep, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't do everything. Of course I didn't do everything, but I feel bad. I beat myself up about it. Sometimes the most God-honoring thing we can do, though, is to take a break, take a nap, take a bath, put on a face mask. So I think if Jesus could rest, we're allowed to rest too. Okay? So maybe you rest today. I just want to encourage anybody who is struggling with loneliness. This woman very likely was not most likely to succeed or the prom queen, okay? She was not a part of the social things, it would seem. And so if you're feeling lonely, left out, rejected, God gets it. We know that he was rejected too, but he sees you. And like when he quote unquote had to come through Samaria, it was for her. So he sees you, his eyes are on you. If you don't fit in, you are like one of Jesus's favorite people to hang around with. Okay? He didn't fit in either. So that's all I got. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the very practical ways that you show us how to do this life. Thank you that you're motivated to do strange things for the benefit of other people. Thank you that you don't mind looking weird to love people well. I pray that you'd help us to step out and do strange things on behalf of other people. I pray that if we are feeling like we're the strange person who's left out, I pray that we would remember that you get it all too well. You fully understand that. Lord, I pray that the exhausted mamas out there would just take the time to rest with no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I pray that they would come out from under that because that is not from you. I pray that they would rest and soak it the heck up because you rested. Resting is allowed. God, thank you for your word and thank you for revealing yourself to us in it. In Jesus' name, amen.